What a revelation.
And there'll be two for next year.
And you think of years gone by at Grand Slams where we've all sat around waiting for something to start. And there's endless hours at the US Open. I remember, I think it was the 2003 event where it rained for 3 days. So much so that they put a table tennis table up in the media centre.
To preempt any questions,
took it down again quick though.
I'm sure we'll get some questions, particularly with the clay court under the roof. And we know at Wimbledon, when the roof closes, of course it changes the aerodynamics and the conditions. What, if anything, will be different about this match under the roof, Simon?
Well, it'll be the players will have the benefit of no wind. And, you know, we've seen all 2 weeks there's been a fair bit of wind that cruises around this arena. So from that point of view, it's good. No sun issues. But it'll be a bit more humid, I imagine, and the balls will be a bit heavier. So it might be a bit harder to hit big returns. But, you know, the doubles players are so sharp. There's so much movement around the net. I don't think it'll affect them too much. They'll appreciate the lack of wind.
Yep. Should be on top of their game. They're waiting in the holding area. Could well set up a thrilling three-setter.
Could be.
On est prêt? Oh, well,
Eleanor's got all the information we need to know.
Are you
about
ready?
These guys. We'll let you know in a minute.
I don't compte sur vous.
All of it. Well, it'll take 1 minute.
And I'm so impressed by your knowledge and your expertise that I'm going to make way for you at this stage, because Marc Maury is about to introduce the combatants.
Are you not going to sing for us just before you go?
I think... Well, I'm back tomorrow, so I'll save my karaoke choice for then, if that's okay.
That's totally fine, I think. That's what we're all praying for.
Monsieur Roland-Garros 2023.
Over to you, Lady E and Mr. C, who, by the way, in case you haven't heard, has written a book.
Yeah, we can get to that in the next couple of hours, if you like.
Premier jeu entré
Thank
sur
you,
le
Marcus.
Court, dispute la première finale ici en Grand Chelem.
It's because you're about to talk. Because you're about to talk about your book.
Here come the players for the start walk out of the men's doubles final. Thank you very much, Marcus. Marcus will be back tomorrow for the men's final between Novak Djokovic and Casper Ruud, with Gigi Salmon and with Eleanor too, as we await the other pair to come out on court.
Of this music.
It's good, isn't it?
I'm going to take a little recording of this music everywhere.
You know, I'm going to take some of these barbecue shapes.
Walk through doors to this sound.
Probably not yet.
It's too early for barbecue shapes. Third set.
Might be a bit crunchy on the air. Well, one pair's out and the other one's just lingering. Dodig and Krajicek. Ivan Dodig of Croatia, Austin Krajicek, the American.
De ce tournoi en double, Croate Ivan Dodig et l'Américain Austin Krajicek.
That was me sitting down, in case you wondered.
I was just going to say.
It's been a long 2 weeks.
If that's the sound you make sitting down, what happens when you try and get up?
Well, it doesn't work. There's lots of sounds. Plenty of people already in the stadium for this. And what are the nice things about this tournament in particular? This is so smart, and they should be followed by every other tournament. Is this men's doubles final, you know, if you've got a sick ticket that you're up in the gods up high above, which still of course has a good view, you are now able to move right down into the sort of really flashy seats right by the court side, so you get the players will have a really good atmosphere here instead of having people dotted around the stadium. That is very sensible.
Extremely sensible. I completely agree. I'd like more tournaments to do it around the world, not just Grand Slams but on the tour as well, because those seats are also in the eye line for the TV cameras, and so it means that people watching at home don't think there's a crowd watching often, and actually there are people there. It's just that they're high up and no one at home can see them. So yeah, I think it's a great initiative, and I think it will help create the atmosphere, especially if we do end up with the roof fully closed.
Welcome. Yeah, exactly. We're just here at the ball toss.
Just a few reminders, towel boxes once again, orange and grey. Orange for you today, grey for you if you need more towels and a Perrier boxes. Set yourself. As always, if you want me to check a mark, please let me know immediately and make it clear. And we have the serve clocks on both of the scoreboards, and also they will be displayed here on the side. And last but not least, in case there's a tiebreak in the final set, that's 10 points, first two sets normal. And we please take a picture after the coin toss this direction. Any questions? Gentlemen, you want the player or the ball?
Player.
Ball for you?
Most people have gone for the player.
And it's the player.
I think the player's more appealing.
Yeah.
Receive. You stay. Picture, please. This way.
Well, very pleased to see that Sander Gillet and Joran Vliegen of Belgium.
Thank you very much. Have a good match.
Are dressed in pretty much the same kit. It's always good to see a doubles pair dressed together, because you get this sort of unity, and you know, that's what you want. But Krajicek and Dodig are not dressed in the same, and Dodig is wearing like a luminous pink shirt that I think he probably just grabbed out of the bin before he came onto court. What is that about?
He does look like he's about to go for a run, doesn't he? It is a luminous pink shirt. He's wearing black shorts, and he's got a black sleeve on his racket arm. I guess a compression sleeve. Perhaps he's feeling a little discomfort, or has been feeling a little discomfort in that arm. And black socks with blue shoes, which I'm not a fan of, well, personally, that combination.
Well, I mean, for a start, I couldn't pull that off, but it is a very unusual combination. But you certainly couldn't miss Ivan Dodig, who stands out above the other three players in terms of what he's wearing.
Yeah.
Also, maybe it's fair to say, I think, in his doubles credentials, because he's been around the tour a long time, has Ivan Dodig.
But when you think that he won here in 2015, that sort of gives you a bit of a perspective about his career. He's 38 years old, so he's the oldest man out there. I mean, Krajicek at 32 might be considered something of a veteran, but of course in doubles, careers tend to be longer. We tend to find older pairings in men doubles, men's doubles. But yes, as you said, Ivan Dodig is in lots of ways, he's kind of, he's certainly the veteran, but he's also in many ways the pedigree player out there, just in terms of the career that he's had in doubles, which is, I mean, he played a bit of singles early in his career, and he achieved, you know, decent results, but it's really in doubles that he's flourished, and he'll be a really important player today, just having all that experience. And he and Austin Krajicek have formed a very settled pairing, of course, one in Monte Carlo. So they're having a good season, and they've played well together. And I think also the experience of being runners-up here last year, although it was a bittersweet experience, they ended up losing the match, having had match points, and they'll need to shake off any lingering memories they have of that and take the positives, because they were a couple of points away, or a point away from winning the title, and they can get that close again and go a little bit further, I think.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah, it's going to be a very interesting final. As we said, the roof is half closed or half open, depending on how you look at it. But considering it's been open the whole 2 weeks, I'd kind of say half closed. There are some dark clouds in the background behind our position, high up in the stands. At the moment, it's clear above. It's picking up again. So there is, I mean, there has been talk of some storms today. It does feel a bit like it's going to break at some stage, the weather. Two lefties on the court, Joran Fliegen and Austin Krajicek, two righties in Ivan Dodig and Sander Gile. It's a very healthy crowd in here for this match, as the spider cam gets dangerously close to the players. They've played each other twice before, these pairs, and Dodig and Krajicek lead 2-0. They won in just across the city in Bercy last year, 3-6. And they also won in Rotterdam this year, indoors, in a semi-final, winning 4-6. So the head-to-head record in the favour of Dodig and Krajicek.
Krajicek
doesn't necessarily mean anything.
No. Krajicek's also playing for the world number one ranking. So if Dodig and Krajicek win, Krajicek will end up as world number one ranking, currently number five in the live rankings. So plenty to play for out there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Obviously, you want to have a good start. It's quite difficult to play these finals when you're coming straight after a big final with a huge crowd, and you've got to adjust to the fact that the crowd is a lot smaller. But as I said, they're right by the court, and it makes for a really good atmosphere.
We know
doubles, everyone plays doubles who plays tennis, and you know, that's the thing that's played most of all, probably for most people, and the crowd usually get really into these contests. And we're about a minute away from the end of the warm-up. Krajicek is already just getting his towel and getting himself ready. So is Dodig walking to the chair. The Belgians are hitting a couple of extra serves.
So thank you for staying with us for this men's doubles final. And we absolutely want to hear from you throughout this match. Bookworm, if you're there, can you give us an update on the weather?
Well, I think the umpire, before you carry on, the umpire just said, we're keeping the roof like this because we expect rain, but we don't know for sure. So if it's coming, we can close it quickly, more quickly than if it was open. That'd be complete.
Yes, understand. They're sort of hedging their bets a little bit. But yes, if you're listening out there, what did you think of that women's final, and how do you see the men's singles final going tomorrow? You could also tell us, this is something we've been asking throughout this weekend, what's the match that you've enjoyed the most? What's the match that you will take away as one of your memories of this year's Roland Garros? And tell us why. Tell us, it might not be one of the marquee matches that we saw here on Court Philippe Chatrier. Maybe you were lucky enough to come here and you were sat out on Court 14. And something just really caught your interest.
Well, a lot of things have happened. As I was working out today that there were 31, or have been 31, five-set matches in the men's championship. 7 comebacks from 2 sets down. So, you know, it really is a marathon, not a sprint, as some people say. The referee is coming onto the court, because I think there might be a few spots of rain coming. They're just coming to talk to the players to explain what is going on. I might be able to listen in.
5 minutes. Can you just... I'm expecting some rain in about 15 minutes. So the plan is to have it half like this. So we know that it's 25
Why minutes.
Why
wouldn't they just shut it now? It's going to rain in 15 minutes.
Yeah, but
because it's half outdoors, I think.
It's an outdoor tournament. So the idea is to keep it open as long as you can. That's basically what the supervisor is saying.
And he said we're expecting rain. It's quite difficult to hear, I'm sure. We're expecting rain in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, like this is... can you put... How long takes to close?
Only 5 minutes. But here is dripping already during the warm-up.
So yeah, we are fine. Let's wait.
Okay, the players win. Yeah. Players have said, look, what's the point of keeping it open if we think there's going to be a rain? We don't need a disruption halfway through a game or whatever, an important time in the set, perhaps. Let's just shut the roof. And the supervisor says, yeah, okay.
Well, I think that's a good example of players being part of the decision-making process. The crucial thing there was that all the 4 players agreed.
Yeah.
They were very much in unison in what they were saying, and it was a very kind of adult and sensible conversation about a situation which we haven't, as we've been saying, had to face so far at Roland Garros. No. This is the first roof decision we've had. It's quite exciting.
It is. I was thinking, you know, in doubles, I doubt really anyone desperately wants to keep it open, because it just means conditions are perfect for them. But thinking back to some other finals, you know, when Andy Murray and Roger Federer played each other at Wimbledon, he'd won the first set and he was really pushing, and then the roof closed and Federer just turned into Federer and off he went, you know, because he had no distractions, no sun, no wind to deal with. He just began to play perfectly again, and that changed the match around. Things can change when the roof comes on.
Well, and we know that clay is a surface which reacts to its environmental conditions, and that will change slightly. As Simon was saying, it'll probably get a little bit heavier out there once they are playing under the roof.
You asked the listeners the other day, didn't you, about who's your dream partner?
Yes, we did dream mixed doubles. Yeah, we did, actually. Quite a lot of people saying sort of Laver and Billie Jean King, you know, picking legends from different eras and putting them together, which I suppose is a little bit what they do with the Legends event here. My pick was Nick Kyrgios and Suzanne Longlin. Because I just thought, what box office that would be.
Yeah, that would be good.
Longlin was a superstar in her day, fantastic.
She used to drink at the change of ends.
She had sugar cubes soaked in cognac, and she used to pop them in her mouth at the change of ends.
That was classy. My doubles partner once tried that in a match that we played when we were about 18, because we wanted to go to the pub. It was on a Friday night. Very, you know, not the best time to play a match if you're an 18-year-old. And we wanted to go to the pub, so he filled his water bottle half with vodka and half with Coke. And for a set and a bit, he was on fire.
and then
he began to fade.
Really?
Then I had to do a lot more work. But it was interesting. I never tried it myself. I don't think I could cope.
I was in Melbourne once. We went to play tennis, and I made a very foolish mistake and let my brother pack the esky, the ice box. And I had assumed he'd put some water in there, and it was about 38 degrees. We were playing on a grass court, and it was quite warm, and I went to get a drink. I opened the Esky and it was full of beer.
Yeah, I think that's not an uncommon experience in Australia.
Not an yes, he'd obviously lived there long enough to become sufficiently a little bit Australian in his habits.
Mariana says, Lady Eleanor and Simon, fabulous ladies final. Gutted for Carolina, but can't help thinking her game will be perfect for Wimbledon. Hope she gets her required rest and comes back stronger for the grass. Thank you both for all your hard work these last 2 weeks, and I'll miss you. We'll miss you too, Mariana. It's been great having you and everyone listening to us. We're not done yet. We've still got a whole day and a bit to go, so we won't get too tearful until the end.
No, it is definitely bittersweet going into the final weekend of a Grand Slam, and especially here at Roland Garros, because all of you who listen in and tweet us and send us emails, it does feel like a little family with all of us, and it's wonderful for us. It's really not hard work.
Well, you
it's
make
tremendous
our job
fun.
A lot easier.
You really do. And we love your jokes, we love your movie titles, we love your memories, and we love your takes on some of these matches, because you've all got different ideas. You're all seeing tennis differently, and that's the wonderful thing about this sport. We all see it through a different lens.
Richard says he really likes what you said earlier. There's a lot on the line in the final, Eleanor.
Well, Richard and I are as one when it comes to puns. That actually was not one of my intentional ones.
Even better. It's just
a cliche.
It's naturally inside you.
Just a cliche.
Amazing. Just a cliche. Yeah, well, they're warming up a little bit more now because they're waiting for the roof to close. It's busy, slowly closing. The supervisor said it takes 5 minutes to close. It's almost there. It's about three quarters of the way across. So the player's taking advantage of the extra time to hit a few more serves. And I think if I was picking dream mixed doubles partners, it actually happened once at Wimbledon when John McEnroe, who was my childhood idol in tennis, played with Steffi Graf. In 1999, McEnroe had already retired about 6 years before, 7 years before.
It was Graf's last year, wasn't it?
It turned out to be Graf's last year. Graf was busy getting to the final of the women's. She'd won here at Roland Garros, which was sort of against the odds, and against Martina Hingis. And then she got to Wimbledon. She was on her way to the final. But she was playing with McEnroe in the mix, and they were brilliant. They beat Venus Williams and Justin Gimelstob when, you know, they were just destroyed them. They beat everyone along their way. They got to the semi-finals. And then Graf, because she was 30, she was getting, you know, as we now know, getting right at the end of her career, she felt a little niggle of some sort and decided that she wasn't going to risk her chances in the singles final. And so she pulled out before their semi-final.
And how did John take that?
John McEnroe was livid. Utterly livid. I think if you ask him, because they would have won. They were absolutely brilliant, as you might imagine. And he was furious. I'm pretty sure if you asked him now, he would still say he was pretty angry. Not that he holds a grudge or anything.
No, I'm sure he doesn't. Yeah, we have seen, as we were talking about the Hopman Cup, weren't we? One of the last matches that we saw at the Hopman Cup before it took its hiatus. You had Federer against Serena Williams on the same court playing mixed doubles.
After 2 weeks of sunshine.
Yep, Federer and Belinda Bencic. Can't remember who Serena played with.
Was it Steve Johnson?
Or James Blake?
Have I imagined that?
No, I don't think it was. I think it was. It might have. I'm not sure. The shot clock's appeared, which is quite unusual because the play is not starting. The roof is almost closed, and it's really quite interesting to look at because there are sort of shafts of light coming through from underneath each. What would you call it? A sort of each row of the.
Each cross strut,
I suppose. Yeah, cross section of the roof. Which gives it a bit of natural light, which is nice. And we're getting ready to begin. But do send us your. I want to do this again. If people didn't get in touch last time, your favourite mixed doubles pairings or dream pairings. Let us
or
know.
Or doubles. We're watching men's doubles. It could be women's doubles, men's doubles, mixed doubles.
Rob says, did you mention that Brits Hewitt and Reed? Oh, we've got the lights on for the first time. We need lights in the studio. Thanks, Stefan.
Austin.
Did you mention that Brits Hewitt and Reed defeated De La Puente and Fernandez in the men's wheelchair doubles? Yes, we did. Marcus actually mentioned that earlier.
Right.
Hewitt overcoming the earlier agony of defeat in the wheelchair singles. Yeah, very good win for them. So we're getting underway. It's going to be Austin Krajicek to start proceedings, and Ivan Dodig at the net in his luminous pink shirt, just putting a little hand signal behind his back as to where the serve should go. It goes down the tee, and the return in the net from Fliegen.
Kelsey.
Fliegen and Gillet, I'm glad you told me it was Gilet. Sometimes we forget the pronunciations of these names, because I've been thinking about buying a Gilet from the Roland Garros shop, so it's also reminded me to go and do that.
This is a sign.
Yeah, I need to save up a little bit.
Could you take Gilet with you to say, can I buy a Gilet for my friend Gilet?
I could do that, but I'd be overstating the state of our friendship.
True.
I think. Left-handed Austin Krajicek serving, standing very close to the tee on the second point. Return cross-court from Gilet is good. Backhand cross-court from Gilet. Volley over the baseline from Krajicek. And the two Belgians pump fists. I mean, you'll see anyone who's watched doubles in the last 20 years or so. It's changed because it didn't used to be like this. But after every point, there's a little hand tap or a fist pump.
And a little bit of talking behind your hand as if you're telling something very secret.
I used to think it was really stupid, even though I played tennis all my life, but that you should touch hands after every point. Because, you know, what if you just dumped it in the net? It was awful. And your partner comes over and gives you a little tap. But the more I played and the older I get, the older I've got, the more I've watched doubles and worked in tennis and written about it and commentated on it, I know that actually it's about lifting spirits, keeping unity, because it's very easy for one player to feel bad on the court if they're not playing their best.
Yeah, and you can go into your own little world, and actually it's all about being a team and keeping each other's spirits up, as you say, keeping a kind of consistent level emotionally.
Yeah.
And if one's down, the other one has to step in and try and lift them.
Bit of trouble for Krajicek on serve at 15:30. Hammers a serve down the tee in the return, flies off and is caught very nicely by a gentleman in the stands at about, what's that, about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock?
And then he's thrown it to the ball boy, who caught it cleanly as well. So well, very nice little passage of play.
Very good. Ball boys and girls here have been very sharp in their catching, especially.
Yes, they've done an absolutely phenomenal job. And some of them do seem very, very young. So to be able to concentrate and take that pressure as Krajicek just puts down a service winner, a timely service winner. It's an incredible feat, really, to be 10 years old, 11 years old, and be out here in front of all these people. And you know, if something happens, you could be the centre of attention.
There's a lot that goes into being a ball boy and a ball girl at these Grand Slams. It takes weeks of preparation and training.
Well, there's a selection process to go through for starters, and they're tested, I think, on their fitness and their reflexes and their hand-eye coordination.
Krajicek, and for those of you who know your doubles and you know your jargon, they're playing normal formation on the serve. Dodik just sticks his racket out to hit a backhand volley. He goes back quickly for a lob. He's going to have to play the forehand back into the ad court. Now he goes cross-court to the forehand of Fliegen, who puts it in the net, and Dodik and Krajicek get out of that hole, and they hold for one love.
Is normal jargon, or is just normal just like a word?
Normal was the opposite of jargon, clearly. What I was about to say, he could have been playing I formation, or, you know, could have been doing all sorts of other things, but that is what they're doing. They're playing regulation format at the moment, where
you serve
from your normal position and your partner is on the diagonal, as you would expect. It's when they sometimes stand on the middle line, they duck down. That's the I formation, when you're almost in an I shape. And sometimes they even stand on the other side, which we used to call Australian, because it was the opposite of normal, in inverted commas.
I'm sure Courtney Walsh should love that comment.
I don't also know what he calls it, actually.
Also, you see, yes, maybe also they just call it doubles.
Or English.
But also, you often see the player at the net vary their position, even within the service box. So they might be covering line, or being more central, or as Ivan Dodig, for example, on return of serve, he's at the net, but he's staying very far back in the service box. He's on the diagonal.
Well, yeah, I mean, what you see more nowadays is that the service partner at the net is a nice attempt of a lob from Fliegen goes long. What players do so much better now is crossing and poaching at the net. It used to be that you would generally move horizontally across to cover for volley. Now, if you think about the angles, that means you're waiting for the ball longer than you need to. If you go on the diagonal, you will get there quicker, and it's a remarkably much, much easier volley when you get there. So nowadays, even the server's partner probably won't stand as close to the net as they used to. Forehand long from Fliegen.
Have your racket so you could almost touch the net just by reaching out.
Well, you would be told to take to reach the net, to set your position, you would touch, you'd reach your arm out full length, touch the net with the racket, and then take a step back. That was the general position for the server's partner. But now you'll see them standing a bit deeper so that they're actually moving forward when their partner is hitting the serve. And they, of course, know where the serve is going, which gives them the advantage in the first place. Better kick serve from Fliegen draws the error on the return from Krajicek.
And do you use signals with a partner in doubles?
I mix them up. Okay. Well, I always mix them up. So, because I was before that really came in
playing. You see, don't you?
Yeah.
And I'm sure you'll have seen this if you're listening to us at home, that the player at the net, when their partner is serving, they're indicating where they think the serve should go by pointing their fingers down or which finger they point down.
There's a great
move.
It's a
code.
A great move from Gillet at the net to cut off a forehand from Dodu, which was pretty well hit, but just knifed the backhand volley straight down the middle, and it's 30-all. And serving at love one. Yeah, you have hand signals where you point to where the server's going to serve. That's the first thing you do. And then you make another signal as to what you're going to do as the partner off the serve. And you can do that for first and second serve. You can change it up, do whatever you like. And it used to be that players would stand at the back of the court talking behind tennis balls in front of their face like this, so you can't quite hear them. But now it's more hand signals. Another good move from Gillet, but he doesn't put it away this time. Four backhand netted on the volley from Krajicek. A bit lucky for Gillet and Fliegen.
I wonder if that's partly because now the on-court microphones are actually so much more sensitive than they used to be, and maybe it's a concern that hand signals are much safer. And there's absolutely no way, if you're making hand signals behind your back, that the people on the other side of the net are going to have any idea what you're doing.
No, unless, as we mentioned the other day, you're one of those servers who look where you're going to serve it before you hit it. And there are quite a few of those, even at professional level.
Yes, or famously, as you were talking about the other day, Andre Agassi reading the Boris Becker serve because Becker had a habit of pointing his tongue in the direction he was going to serve.
Ooh, miss it return from Dodig, drops in. Gillet left it to the net, but it was well in. Back to juice. Yeah, exactly that Becker Agassi story, which we've told many times on air, but it is a good one. Stuck his tongue out to the left when he wants to serve out wide, down the middle when he was going down the middle, and to the right when he was going to the right. And Agassi spotted it, or Brad Gilbert spotted it, and from then on, he was all over the Becker return of Becker serve, which was one of the best serves of all time at that stage. Better serve from Fliegen down the middle.
Fliegen.
Eleanor mentioned at the beginning, Dodig has won his first Grand Slam title in 2015 with Marcelo Melo. I remember being in a car with Marcelo Melo and I think Andre Sarr, who he used to play with, and they were having a conversation about who the best doubles player was in the world, and Melo said, me.
Awkward.
Yeah, they all went a bit quiet. Hold a serve for Gillet, thanks to his first ace with a match, and it's a game apiece.
Yes, overall, Dodig is 2-2 in Grand Slam men's doubles finals. He was runner-up at Wimbledon with Melo. He won the Australian Open title with Polasek in 2021, and of course was runner-up here in 2022. Very, very good at mixed doubles as well, actually, Dodig.
Yeah, he's reached plenty of finals. And won three mixed doubles title. Two at Roland Garros and one at Wimbledon. And one at the Australian Open, so that's four, not three. But the thing about doubles these days is that pairs don't stay together that long anymore. Unless you're brothers, like the Bryans, tends to be that after about 2 or 3 years, they move on and switch around. It's pretty brutal, isn't it? It's like tennis Tinder.
It's very much that sort of November, December time is often when you see people being dumped and picked up, and discussions are secretly going on, presumably in the last few tournaments of the season as they're trying to work out how best to move forward. I think you have to be ruthless. You've got a finite career, and I think they all understand it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely a bit of a shuffling of the pack.
You call it the doubles carousel. Sort of after the US Open time when you're heading towards the winter and they start sending each other messages, and it is quite like sort of a weird dating system where they switch around
But it's chemistry. It's like dating in that it's about how you match up together in all sorts of ways. Obviously, there are the technical aspects of how your games complement each other, but there's also the emotional, you know, way that you might join together. And if you don't get on, and there have been plenty of doubles teams that weren't best mates, but at getting on the court and your ability to, as we said, find that emotional equilibrium together, that's the vital sort of magical ingredient that they're looking for.
There's a message for you to read out from Mrs. Bear's Travels, actually.
Is there?
Yeah. It's disturbing, by the way.
It always worries me when you or Marcus suggest that I read something out.
Give it a go. Come on. Dodie just missing his serve at 15-0. Krajicek, you can hear them sort of saying their signals. Yep, no. I used to love it when Andy Murray and Jamie Murray played together. Andy at the net would make the signals, or vice versa. Andy would always just go, no, all right.
Maybe.
Exactly. And then probably change it up. As Dodik goes cross court on the inside out forehand to the forehand of Gillet. Now, a quick move at the net. Oh, a quick fire play. Oh, unlucky by Fleegan. And he got two quick ricochet volleys back. For the third one, he couldn't control and it went wide. He and Austin Krajicek standing diagonally across the net from each other, very close to each other, and just banging at each other.
There was a bit of ping pong there, wasn't it? And Krajicek standing up well to that barrage. Of course, the convention in doubles is you can hit against your opponent. It's absolutely no problem.
It's the easiest thing to do.
Because you're guaranteed to win the point if you hit them with the ball. And that's just part of the game.
All these guys started off playing singles. Dodik bangs a serve out wide for an ace. Take it 40-15. Krajicek himself is a top 100 player. But then once they start having more success in doubles, it makes financial sense more than anything to stick with that rather than singles, because often you can't get into the singles draw in a tournament if your ranking's not high enough. But if your doubles ranking is there, you just stick to your double.
Well, and the prize money in doubles has certainly improved in the last 10 years or so.
Great athleticism from Fleegan to get back a smash at the net from
Dodik Krajicek.
Krajicek, I think it was, but in the end, the forehand goes just wide. And a fist bump from Dodik and Krajicek as they hold serve for 2-1.
A very solid smash from the Pink Peril himself, Van Dodik.
Is that what you're going for?
That's what I'm going for, the Pink Peril. It's good, isn't it? It works.
Right.
Mrs. Bear's Travels, I'm both very fond of you and hate you a little bit right now, because you've sent a tweet in that says, "Good evening, Lady Eleanor and Simon. I'm listening to Radio Roland Garros. I'm still listening, well, I hope so, to Radio Roland Garros, and I've renamed the longest train station in the UK." Now, this is a train station in, well, it's a town in Wales, and it's famously an incredibly long word with lots and lots of letters, not all of which are vowels.
But she's changed it slightly to make it more tennis-y at the end.
She has. I've noticed that.
Well, well done.
Thank you.
That's good.
So if you go to our Twitter...
Oh, come on.
Okay. Lanfair...
Powell, I think.
No, it's Perth. It's a Perth sound, like the town of Pwtheli.
Okay.
I do... I've got Welsh in-laws, so I'm going to go Lanfair... Pwtheli...
This is brilliant radio.
I can't even begin.
You can't even read it.
I can't even begin to read it. Give it a go. But that PW is a Puth sound.
Okay.
I know that
Clan
one.
Fair, Puth, Win, Gori, Kmun, Rob, Willen, Silio, Coco, Goth.
That's very good. It did sound like you were reading something backwards.
It did, didn't it? But the last bit is Silio, Coco, Goth.
So thank you, Mrs. Bear's Travels. Don't bother tweeting in again.
Yeah. Not with Welsh names, because we just can't read them.
Not with Welsh names that long. I'm all right with some Welsh names.
Very quick interception at the net from Fleegan. Just moving across right into the centre of the court at the net, right on top of the net, and that just makes the volley much, much easier. As the roof is closed for the first time here at Roland Garros this year, which is amazing. It's such great weather. It's been very hot the last couple of days, very humid too. As Gillet just lets the ball drop. Gillet is quite a funny name for a tennis player.
Let's win the first service.
apparently he's armless.
You could make a lot of You don't. Gilets don't have to be armless, or do they?
I think they do. There's like a waistcoat, isn't it?
Sort of. But I've. Good question. I think I've worn one with sleeves, but the front bit's a gilet and the rest is long sleeves. Richard says,
that's
I remember...
That's a jacket. That's just
not,
a jacket.
It's not a jacket.
Yeah. Sorry, a gilet with long
sleeves
jacket. Is a jacket.
I don't know. Richard says, I remember playing in a tennis doubles final in a school holiday tournament. My partner kept double faulting and we unsurprisingly lost. I had a simple two-fingered hand signal to him when he asked me a while later if we could play together. Yes, I think that would work. I remember playing doubles at Steady Love. Gilet and Fliegen, I remember playing doubles with a very good friend of mine once, and he was just not playing well, and I was trying to be nice all the way through, but you sometimes can't hide your disappointment, or, you know, especially if it goes going really badly. He's a good player, but he got at one stage he went, oh, if you're really angry with me, just tell me. I was like, no, I'm fine. That's right. There's some great pictures meanwhile on social media of Iga Świątek celebrating her third Roland Garros crown. Of course, if you weren't with us earlier, she beat nice forehand return from Austin Krajicek down the line past Fliegen at the net, get it back to 30-15. Yeah, she's been she beat Karolina Muchova in a fabulous final, three sets, 6-4 in the third to win her third Roland Garros final, fourth Grand Slam title overall. But she's there's some nice pictures of her high-fiving all the ball boys and girls down the steps at Roland Garros, and picture of her with a trophy. I think she's going to be one very happy woman tonight after another great Grand Slam for her, and a really tough final that Muchova made into a great, great match. Oh, a little bit of luck from Krajicek at the net, but in the end the ball actually spins back to the point where Gilet can slam it at him and put it away.
I have to say, my favourite moment of the final presentation was Iga Świątek dropping the top of the trophy, and then her look on her face and the hand up to her mouth, and then not knowing if she should jump down off the very high podium and pick it up, or if someone was going to pick it up for her. And it's already a meme on social media, as you can imagine.
It is. Hold of serve from Gilet, and we're level at two games all. She's also, there's also a meme of her dropping a water bottle at the change of ends, because she does drop quite a few things, but she's not dropping her chances of winning these titles, that's for sure.
Nice segue. Very smooth.
Didn't even really work, did it? Dropping chances, but never mind. Never mind, you know what I mean. So the Belgians have been playing together for a while now. First teamed up at 2013 in Belgium F2, which is a low-level ITF event. They've won 7 ATP Tour titles, so they are one of the longest pairs together, as Dodik gets a lot of power on a smash, puts it away on the first point of the Krajicek serve. They are 98 and 91 as a team. All their seven titles have come at ATP 250 level. 19 and 8 in 2023. They won titles in Pune in India and Estoril in clay. Currently number 6 on the live rankings for doubles pairings, so they would actually go number 1 should they win here today. And obviously, just like the singles players, bidding to finish the year by getting into the ATP Tour finals. Doubles players really enjoy that too. I think that was just a top edge dropped in the stands.
Another good catch from the ball boy. And he rightly gets a round of applause.
Yeah, to make up for the drop in the stands. It's 15 love as Krajicek serves lob from Gilet. Now it's Fliegen with a forehand to the low to the feet of Krajicek, who nets the volley.
Rob says, what about the Woodies? Todd Woodbridge and Mark Woodford, arguably the best men's doubles pairing of all time, aren't they? They were together for a decade. Yes, Rob, we're just talking about our favourite pairings.
That's fair enough. I was going to suggest the...
I think that's a very valid point. I think the Woodies were absolutely phenomenal. Also, McNamee and McNamara, going back a little bit further.
The late in terms Peter of, McNamara.
In terms of Aussie pairings. The Super Max, they were known.
Nice interception from Dodik, 30-15. Sadly, the Woodford and Woodbridge are not talking much at the moment. They've fallen out a little bit, which is sad to hear. Hopefully they sort that out. But they were a great pair. I mean, Peter Fleming always used to say that the best doubles pairing was John McEnroe and anyone. because McEnroe was such a good doubles player, amazing angles on his returns, his serve was unplayable at times, and his volleys were out of this world. So, and smash, never missed a smash. And he and Peter Fleming won 7 Grand Slam titles together. McEnroe's, actually, I set this question, McEnroe won 2 other men's doubles titles at Grand Slams. Who did he win them with?
So not with Peter Fleming.
He won 7 with Fleming, 3 Wimbledon and 4 US Open. Well, great reaction from Dodig at the net. Then Krajicek should put the smash away. Doesn't quite. Oh, Fliegen desperately unlucky on the half volley from the baseline that catches the tape and stays his side. It's 40-15.
Yeah,
two other men's doubles titles. He also won, McEnroe also won a mixed doubles title here at Roland Garros in 1977. Who was that?
Good questions. You can tweet us at radio_RG. You can email us, frenchopenradio@fft.fr.
Not you.
Oh, I see, I see. I thought you were accusing me of starting to use a well-known search engine, which I would never do, obviously.
Ooh, Krajicek thought he'd finished off this game with an ace down the middle. Dodig is leaning over the net, staring at it. Even the Belgians are not sure. Now the umpire's down, and I think he's out. After all that, he's very quickly out of his chair, the umpire. Speeding back into the chair, and now they're ready. Second serve of Krajicek is a kicker out wide. Ooh, nice volley, low down, catches the tape. Oof, Dodig almost knocked over by the power of the Gillet forehand. It's back to 40-30.
Can't
want doing him no favours there. Ah, Faisal is listening. My old friend Faisal from a tennis club in London. Faisal travels all over the world. He's got the answer to one of them. We'll give a few people a chance to... he's got one of them. Very famously. It was actually the last Grand Slam title that McEnroe won. Jiminy has got the French Open mixed doubles title. Ooh, brilliantly avoided by Dodig at the net. He was about to hit the volley. He decided to duck out of the way at the last minute. And it's gone long on the return from Gillet, and Dodig and Krajicek move ahead 3-2. I was in, because I loved McEnroe so much. I mean, I've talked about this a bit, but I was also happened to be in San Jose in 2006 and 7. Both times Andy Murray won the singles, which was potluck on my part for being there. But, well, first year, because second year I went back for his title defence. But the second year, McEnroe came out of retirement to play doubles with Jonas Björkman. And they won it, and it was amazing, because McEnroe by that time was 48, so giving away a lot of years to the younger guys, but they sort of eased through the door and to the draw. And in the final, Bjorkman was amazing in that tournament. He was absolutely incredible.
I was going to say he was a fabulous doubles player. Well,
in that tournament he was on fire, sort of helping McEnroe if he needed it. In the final, McEnroe was the best player on the court, upped his level. They broke serve. It was really, really great to watch. Red Sox Devils got the Roland Garros mixed doubles. He's also got the other two. Did you use Google? Is the question.
Other search engines are available.
Are they? So it's 3-2 on serve. Fliegen serving and Gillet all over the net to smother the volley, bounces it straight into the ground and up and away it goes into the stands.
Mrs. Bears Travel says, that was an awesome attempt by Simon Cambers. Unfortunately, Lady Eleanor failed miserably, having Welsh ancestry.
Yeah.
I'll just point out, I don't have any Welsh ancestry. I have a Welsh partner and Welsh in-laws.
Okay.
So it's not in the blood.
Oh, but you've still got some Welsh connections.
I've definitely have Welsh connections.
Well,
I've
clearly not been.
And
listening
I'm very much hoping my father-in-law wasn't listening to that, because I'll get no end of ear bashing. Anyway, she says, only joking, Mrs. Bears. Too late now, Mrs. Bears Travels.
Yeah, none taken.
I think we'll steer clear of Welsh names in the future. I think I would like that.
Jiminy says no search engine needed. He was very quick on the Roland Garros mixed doubles. It was the first Grand Slam title that John McEnroe won. He was 18 years of age. They only rocked up just, I think they were going to play juniors, and decided to play in the mixed and went on and won it, which was brilliant. As the left-handed Fliegen goes cross court to the forehand of Dodik, who's powering forehands inside out. They're playing on the angle. Up goes the lob from Dodik, lifted over the head of Gillet. The lob comes up from Fleeg and then snapped away by Austin Krajicek at the net.
Great footwork from Krajicek there, because he had to get himself quite a few paces back. So running backwards, and then he's still got phenomenal amounts of power and placement on that ball. Great athleticism. You expect from world-class doubles.
One of the real differences between doubles at this level and good level doubles at amateur level is the speed at which the net player can get back to pick up the smash. They almost never let it bounce. Whereas you'll see plenty of lobs clearing the heads of amateur players. They are so quick on their feet.
Tonta.
And it elevates the level of doubles very quickly. Ace from Krajicek to get back to 30 all. And it's a quick chat at the back of the court between these two. Between Fliegen and Gillet. Fliegen serves into the net. Gillet just feeds the ball to the ball boy, but not really to him. He's just move across to the other side. No return down the line from Krajicek as Gillet moved across to the middle of the court, hoping to intercept the return, but he just held the return on his racket, fed it down the line, and it's a first break point of the match for Dodik and Krajicek, looking to go up 4-2. Mrs. Bears Travel says, "I remember Heather Watson winning Wimbledon mixed doubles with Henri Continent in 2016. That was a good year.
It was a great story, wasn't it?
It was great to see the first British woman to win a major title since Jo Jury in 91. Great pairing, as it proved to be that year. Dodik gets the return back, but he's going to be pummeled by the forehand of Fliegen. Landed short and far too difficult for him to get back.
40.
Back to deuce. Break point saved. Some warm applause and encouragement from this very good crowd in. Like the whole of the lower bowl, almost, is pretty much full. And I should think, probably, that if you've got a grounds pass today and you were out watching the legends or the juniors, then I'm pretty sure you'd be allowed to get in here to watch this match. And that's a real boon for grounds pass holders. I think every tournament should do that. Some tournaments get a bit stuck with what to do about ticketing, and you paid your ticket, you should be there in the seat you've bought. But this just makes for a much better atmosphere.
Yes, and as I said, they're sitting nice and close to the court. So it's better for the players, because when they look around, they see a sea of faces. And so they should. It's a Grand Slam final. It's nice that there's a very high standard of live tennis still to watch, and a Grand Slam title to be played for, and it's important that you have people there to watch it, it's held.
There's often a debate about when's best to hold the doubles finals. By the way, Fliegen getting out of trouble, saving that break point, back to 3-3. And it'll be Dodik to serve next. Debate about when's best to stage doubles finals. Is it after a singles final, when people are there but might be leaving? Or is it best before, when they're not necessarily there for a singles final? Or is it best to be on a day on their own, when they get their own billing? And it varies according to the tournament. It varies according to the country. Different fans behave differently, and they stay for the whole day or don't come for the whole day. It's completely up for grabs.
Yeah, I quite like, actually, the trend now for the mixed doubles to be held as the first of the finals. So it's usually on the Thursday at Grand Slams, and it always used to feel very early to have a final, but actually it almost sets the tone for the final 4 days of the event. And when you have really good crowds, as we had for the mixed doubles finals, I think it gives it a... more of a lift. And
Fliegen and Gillet, meanwhile, they've got four lobs back into play. It's going to be a Krajicek who just carves the ball away in the end. They had to be careful, but great retrieving from the Belgians. The crowd loving that one.
They did. It was like they were watching a fireworks display, wasn't it?
We'll get to some more of your emails and messages in a minute. Thank you so much. French Open Radio at fft.fr and radio at _RG.
Red Sox Devil's got a couple of your answers.
I said he's got all of them. So I'm going to give you them, because I think enough people have got them now. The mixed doubles was with Mary Carrillo in 1977. They grew up in the same neighbourhood. in New York. Did McEnroe and Carrillo. They were really good school friends. And as I said, they rocked up here thinking they were just going to play juniors. And they ended up winning the title. Must have been a fantastic moment for them. They're both here working for NBC. And Mary Carrillo told me earlier in the week that John's busy doing loads of other stuff as well. So I have to do a bit of covering. Talking of covering, as well covered by Fliegen at the net. Backhand volley into the back behind Krajicek. And it's 30-15.
Well, McEnroe, of course, dates somewhat from an era where the top singles players almost always played doubles. Yeah. And of course, that has changed over the years. And I think it's changed partly because singles has become so much more physically demanding. And yeah. Players understand much more about recovery time and rest days and how to peak for their singles matches. And they just don't feel able. And I think that the change to best of three sets for the men's doubles, I think, hopefully should help create opportunities for top singles to play. Well, it's now all four slams. Wimbledon was the last of the four.
It was. Excellent rally between these two pairs, ending with Fliegen cutting off the backhand volley down the middle at 30 all. Interesting change in tactics from Fliegen and Gillet here, because they are just chipping the serves back for lobs, trying to give themselves a little bit more chance of getting the return into play and away from the net player. And it's working pretty well so far. They're defending nicely and getting themselves into position. Yeah, Richard points out, Jamie Murray and Yelena Yankovic, 2007. It was a fairy tale partnership.
It was great fun, actually. I was writing Jamie's column for The Guardian, a newspaper that we both have worked for over the years. And so that was brilliant fun. And Yelena was absolutely hilarious. She's always been a big fan favourite. And she was not taking any nonsense from anybody.
No.
Let me tell you.
No.
And Jamie, yes, definitely knew where he stood at all times.
Good interception from Gillet gives the Belgians a break point. Saved the break point in their last service game, and now they're up with a chance to break.
And actually, for a while, it actually took Jamie quite a long time to win, relatively speaking, to win a men's doubles title.
Yeah,
he was almost, for a while, a sort of mixed doubles specialist, which is quite rare, really.
It took him ages, because he won a couple with Hingis, Martina Hingis. It took him a long time. It didn't happen until he switched to partner Bruno Suarez, that they won in Australia, and then they went on to win a few more, and he's had a very, very good career as Jamie. Hope he's recovered from the food poisoning that caused him to leave here.
Dodgy octopus. Yes. No, yeah. It's fine. And he's back working with Louis Kea, which I think is really... if you haven't heard of Louis Kea, he is responsible, I think, in lots of ways for coaching all sorts of players in doubles, particularly Brits, previously Canadians.
Second serve from Dodig to Gillet, and now it's Fliegen who's on the cross court, goes down the line. That was a wrong choice because Krajicek cut off the volley very smartly, moved forward to the net, just knocked it off.
Krajicek's playing very, very strongly at the moment, isn't he?
Yep. In Jamie's career, he's gone through periods where he's not used Louis Kea, and then he's gone back to him each time, and each time it seems to work.
He's a wonderful sort of calm, soothing voice. And also, I don't think there's a coach in the world that understands doubles as well as Louis Kea does. And anyone who's worked with him just raves about the work he's done.
Ooh, a monstrous return from Fliegen. But again, Krajicek so sharp at the net, puts away the volley. And it's game point to Dodig and Krajicek. Both these pairs unseeded this year, which is... pretty... Oh, that's not true. What am I talking about? It's just because on the board, they're taken off the seedings. That confused me. Dodig and Krajicek are the number four seeds. Gillet and Fliegen are unseeded. They've come through. They beat, as it's game point, Dodig on his serve. Dodig serving his pink shirt. Serves down the tee. Return down the line, sure. But cut Dodig, off again Krajicek. By Krajicek. Three really nice volleys from the American, and he and Dodig move ahead 4-3.
Dodig, Krajicek, yeah, Dodig's not playing badly, but to me, Krajicek is really been the standout player of the four so far in this match. Very, very solid overhead, as we've been saying, and certainly very solid at the net. His anticipation has been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's been very, very good. Red Sox Devil is just saying that he can recite, so he says, virtually every Grand Slam winner, certainly since 68 and most of the 20th century and some of the 19th. But, I mean, actually, I can do some of those things, but not probably not that far back. He's saying Liverpool have won 19 titles. Can you name every single year? Well, I could probably make a fist of it, but I'm not going to do that now. Let's get to the other answers of the McEnroe question I posed. The first men's doubles title that he won outside of playing with Peter Fleming was with Mark Woodford at the US Open in 1989. And I remember that match because I think it was on a Thursday night. It was a bit like what they're doing here with the mix. They moved the doubles to very early, but he and Mark Woodford won that. And then the last was with Michael Stich, famously at Wimbledon in 1992, when they finished on a Monday and came back to finish the doubles and won it. It was a great crowd that watched that match, and yeah, McEnroe was just brilliant at doubles.
Am I misremembering, or did Stich win the singles title that year?
The year before,
thank you. I thought I probably was misremembering.
Agassi won in 92.
Of course he did, yeah.
His white shorts. Everyone was wondering what he was going to be wearing, and he pulled off his tracksuit bottoms and it was all white. Like, oh, how boring. Krajicek on fire at the net here. He's picked off the first volley in on the first point of the eighth game on the serve of Gillet.
Didn't he wear cycling shorts, actually, under the sort of white cycling shorts under the shorts? And that was quite edgy in those days.
It was, but instead of the neon pink ones that he used to wear at other tournaments. Yeah. Krajicek, Fliegen pedalling very quickly and nails the backhand, the smash. It's 15-0.
Now, obviously, they're changing the rule about undershorts and what you can wear at Wimbledon for the women.
Yeah.
If a man wanted to wear a different coloured undershort, would he be allowed?
Oh, I sincerely doubt it, thinking of the way the rules are at Wimbledon.
Well, and also thinking of the reason for the change of rules.
Exactly. Yeah, that's just, if it was a man, it would just be for the fun side of it and fashion and for the feel of it. But as Doding nets a very makeable forehand. He's going up the line past Simon, but doesn't make it. Yeah, of course. I mean, the whole reason for changing the women's underwear is for periods. You know, make sure that women feel comfortable on court. That's all that really matters. It's a bit amazing that it's taken this long, to be honest. But it's only really been the last couple of years people have openly started talking about it, you know, in the media, and people are understanding a little bit more about what women go through on a tennis court. So
when you say people... women have been talking about it quite a lot
men
for many years.
At Wimbledon.
Yes, I mean, I think it's true, but in sport generally, I think we talk much more about periods than we ever did before, and that particularly in tennis. And, you know, I think that can only be a good thing. There's also a lot of sports science research into what happens to a woman's body during her menstrual cycle and how that affects elite athletes and their training and what injuries they might be prone to. And all of that is just adding to the sort of knowledge which just wasn't there 10 years ago because nobody was asking those questions.
Absolutely. Seeing a few posts on social media about Chris Evert presenting the trophy today, which was great to see her back. 7 times a champion here. Holds perhaps the most amazing record, 2 of the most amazing records in tennis. I mean, you... double fault, meanwhile, from Gillet to get back to 40-30. Evert reached 34 Grand Slam finals, which Djokovic is now equal. But she reached at least the semi-finals in 52 of her 56 Grand Slams, which is just ridiculous,
insane,
isn't it? The numbers are insane. And when she was at her peak in the 70s, she won 125 straight clay court matches, which I don't think is a record that will ever be beat. I think Nadal got to about 81.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's extraordinary. Yeah, I mean, if only she'd been a little bit more consistent, think what she could have done.
She could have won some stuff. But 18 Grand Slam titles to Chris Evert's name. Meanwhile, it's back to juice here. Bit of danger for Gillet and Fliegen. On the regular tour, the ATP Tour, if it was juice, it would be sudden death juice here, with the next point winning and the receiving side choosing which player returns. But at the Grand Slams, they play it in a more regulation style.
For now. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see that rule brought in, as it's been brought in for mixed doubles, into men's and women's doubles.
Yep.
There may be some resistance from the players.
Oh, and Fliegen was very tight to the net and ended up missing a forehand volley into the net.
Doding.
And it is a break point for Doding and Krajicek. They've had one already. Couldn't take it on the last Gillet service game. But they've got a second chance here. Yeah, it may well change. I mean, it takes a long time to bring about change in formats and things, but it's very possible. Big serve down the middle, swatted away on top of the net by Fliegen. Perfect combination from the Belgians. And that's Juice.
Yes, I mean, I think in some ways we're quicker to change now than we ever were as a sport. I think for a long time you had very little change, and now suddenly, you know, we've got sudden death juice. We've got best of three sets for the men's doubles.
Yeah, that has taken a long time at Wimbledon, but it's good that it's changed now as the forehand goes down the middle from Gillet. Eventually, the volley from Fliegen under a lot of pressure goes wide.
And I wonder why it took so long. I mean, it